Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Man, I could really go for a cheeseburger, you know?
Ooh, Betsy's going to horn you real good.
How come nobody likes my jokes?
How rude.
Welcome in. This is Gearhead Radio, and I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy, from Shifting Gears Auto Repair, located right here in Paso Robles. I appreciate you being here, if you are here. Maybe you're waiting in line at the parade. Maybe you are not listening. And in that case, this is falling on deaf ears, but that's all right.
This goes to you anyways. Glad you have us turned on, KPRL.
Take it easy with that, huh?
The right choice.
The innuendos. I don't know what's going on over there.
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
I didn't even realize I said anything. Okay. Continue. Just continue.
Phone lines are open. 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. If you'd like to call in, you have a question about your vehicle. That is what the show is today. And today only. And next Saturday at 9 a.m. as well. Every Saturday at 9 a.m.
But today's special because it's Pioneer Day Parade. So if you are listening and you are downtown in your comfy seat waiting for everything to start, give us a call. Tell us how it looks. Tell us what you're seeing.
So let's get into some weather because that, I feel like, is news because it's been so hot. 100 degrees all
hot
last
topic.
Week. It is a hot topic. Yes, that's true. Very good.
Thank you. Proud of that one.
That was a good burn. So today, high of 86, tomorrow 83. All next week, we're staying in the low 80s.
Thank goodness.
Wednesday, we're hitting down in the high 70s. And then it climbs back up into the low to mid 90s next weekend.
Oh, well, that's a little irritating. I'm very excited about the cooler weather. I'm really excited for fall.
There's crisp. It's crispy. It's nice when the air gets crispy in the morning.
So nice.
Yes. What does that mean for your vehicle?
What does it mean for your vehicle? There's a certain amount of things you got to start paying attention to and checking. Honestly, I'm just going to say because of all the dust and dirt and heat, it just cakes on your windshield and then the sun glare and this and that. You got to pay attention to your windshield wipers. Please. Windshield wipers, windshield in general. I've seen so many people driving around with dirty, nasty looking windshields and the wipers are streaking.
Cleaner, dirty, nasty windshield.
They don't. They don't work because the wipers are all sun-dyed. The rubber, you know, is no longer soft. It's not just wiping away the dirt. It just smears everything.
You know what I think it is? I think it's the sun because we're losing daylight. So your drive home is usually right into the sun, right?
Yeah.
So especially coming across the 13th Street Bridge there, like heading to downtown, heading
terrible.
West. It's like right at 5 o'clock because now the sun's lower on the horizon. I mean, your windshield's a little dirty, and
I see everyone doing the hand dance where they're trying to like put their hand over their eyes.
What does that look like?
Where the sun is?
Wait, show me what that is.
It's like this. It's like Madonna Vogue, but like real crazy. Because you're trying to block the sun because you can't see through your dang windshield.
You can use your imagination and see what she's doing. Right.
Can you hear me? Can anyone hear my?
Well, the windshield washer too, right? And that's one of the things we like to check when the vehicles come in, make sure that works. And
it's filled.
And it's like, is that as important as checking the engine oil level?
Yes, because if you can't see, then
I think
that
that's
a safety
hazard.
That's
one of the big things with vehicles, right? It's like trying to set priority levels is really difficult because it's the priorities are different for everybody, and everyone thinks that their own set of rules or expectations is what everybody's is, and it's so difficult to build something that really encapsulates everything that checks everybody's boxes, right? I mean, engine oil level is important. We can basically put that in a box, say that's priority number one, right? We need to make sure the engine oil is full.
If it's low,
and it's
or there's
not,
something,
and it's clean.
Yeah.
But then you go into like, well, what if your seat doesn't work? Is that important? Well, some people it is because they let, you know, everyone in the family borrow the car and the seat needs to move around to accommodate everybody's different vertical challenges. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we do our inspections, we try our best to prioritize the recommendations logically and rationally. But at the end of that, the advisors are still talking to you, the customer, and kind of just going through what's a priority to you to see what really needs to be done and what can wait.
Yeah, so would it be fair to say that sometimes mistakes are made, right?
Yeah, that's why conversations are so important for us to have with you, with our customers, because it's your vehicle and you drive it a certain way. Maybe you commute, maybe you don't. I mean, your set of priorities might be different than ours, and we have to meet in the middle and make sure you're safe and your money is well spent.
Yeah, and I think it's just important to know that that's where we excel, is the level of communication. Is
talking.
Shifting expectations, right? And that's what we do. We shift expectations to allow us to build something for you to keep the vehicle maintained and safe, but also make sure that the things that you deem important are taken care of. And sometimes things get slipped through the cracks, and that gives us an opportunity to learn and then reprioritize. And unfortunately, some people just don't have that in them, and that's just not somebody that we need coming to our shop, right? Like, we're there to build on something that we could build something together, and sometimes mistakes are made, and then someone just wants to, and it just doesn't go for us. It's for anybody and any business anywhere, right? Like, sometimes things don't go according to plan, and everyone's just so quick in this day and age, especially with the political season going on and all this crazy
people
stuff.
People are getting angsty.
It's just like, we're all human here, right? And I'm not just talking about us. I'm just talking in general. We have parts vendors. We have tons of other people, you know, businesses that we deal with on a daily basis to help our business grow. And so sometimes if the mistake is made, we got to take a step back and say, okay, well, what can we do to also help benefit this relationship, right? It's two-way street.
That's the key word there, is we're really trying to build a relationship with our customers. And I don't think everybody understands that or wants that, maybe, but we really do want to take care of people. And I know it sounds corny and tacky, but we want to have those conversations and we want to have discussions. And if something doesn't go the way you thought, I want you to feel comfortable enough to have a discussion so we can figure out how to make it right. But it's just funny, you know, specifically with the election coming and holidays coming, I don't know. I feel like everyone's just getting a little anxious and short in general, like not wanting to have conversations as much as they used to, but we're just trying to help. So it's been
they're all ready to just move out of state. They're just like, oh, you know what? If it doesn't go my way, then I'm just out of here. No. Okay.
It's a very odd mentality, I will be everybody's honest, just, in my opinion.
Everyone's just on pins and needles and just like, you know what? If I don't get my latte the exact way I want it, I'm out of the state. Like, really? That's what does it, huh? I hear it all the time with gas prices. Like, well, gas prices is a dollar cheaper. How much is it going to cost you to move to Tennessee? How much gas do you think you go through? So what does that cost ratio look like? So you're going to save yourself around $5,000 a year, but it's going to cost you $15,000 to $20,000 to move there. Okay. Well, I mean, if you have 20 years, I think that's about the time it takes to allow that to revert itself. But I mean, I don't know.
There's lots of things to consider. And obviously the minimum wage or livable wage in other states is drastically different than California too. It ends up evening out. The longer you're somewhere, it just evens out and you're kind of in the same boat, in my opinion. So if you're having a hard time now, I can't imagine it getting drastically better in the long term just because you move somewhere else. But, you know, we also know a lot of people that moved out of state, love it. We also know a whole handful of people that moved out of state and it was not what they anticipated. And then guess what? They couldn't afford to move back and they regret ever moving. So we've heard a lot of different opinions over the years just from our friends. But that's off on another tangent. Let's get back to cars and stuff.
Oh, okay.
You're done. The me? Guy next to me.
I was getting interrupted the whole time, so I was just giving you the mic.
I figured I'd just let you go on.
Yeah, so speaking of gas prices.
Go on.
I got nothing. Pioneer Day Parade. How about that for a transition? How's that for shifting gears? That was a rough one. That was a rough shift.
Hope we don't need a new transmission.
So Pioneer Day Parade. A little history about it. Do you know anything about Pioneer Day?
I know some stuff.
What do you know?
Why don't you continue? I don't want to interrupt you, sir. Why don't you
So, speak? Well, today we got the bean cooking starting. Start at 7 o'clock. At 8 o'clock is the pet contest. So you missed that. The 8:15 is the little cowboy and cowgirl contest. You also missed that. Pioneer Day Parade starts at 10 o'clock.
Who's missing that? How come you say you missed that?
You missed it because you're here right now.
Oh.
I'm talking to you.
All right.
Pioneer Day Parade starts at 10 o'clock sharp. Then right after that at 12 o'clock is the free bean feed. So if you want some good old-fashioned beans, some lunch, some free lunch, head on down to the city park. Also, the Carnegie Library opens. I brought that up because I want to talk about the history of Pioneer Day a little bit. I say history, and I feel like everybody changes the station. But for those of you that decided to stay, thank you. 12:30, the Whiskerino contest. Yours truly will be probably not participating in that, but I should. The horseshoe pitching contest at 1 with the Gymkhana. And then this year, first time ever, is the Pioneer Games at the Paso Robles Event Center. So I'm pretty excited to see what that's all about. You know what games they're going to be doing?
I know a handful, but I'm going to tell you after the break or I'm going to make it be a surprise.
There's 10 different games. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Kelly Henson Electric in Paso Robles has been serving the county since 2002. Whether you need a panel upgrade, car charger installation, a generator install, or help with design plans and permitting, Kelly Henson is your expert electric company. They don't mind emergency work, and no job is too small. You can see their work at the PAC in Templeton, Twin Cities Hospital in La Venture, and Niner Wineries. Call Kelly Henson Electric, 805-536-1669. Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Welcome back in. You tuned into Gearhead Radio. I appreciate you being here. So, Pioneer Day today. Pioneer Games at 3 o'clock today after the parade. 10 different games. Can you guess what they are? So, the first one is the Bale Wagon Race. I have no idea what that is. The second one is the Hay Hurdle Relay. I have a pretty good idea what that might be.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I didn't have my mic turned on. I said a joke.
The third one is the Celebrity Tractor Tire Race. Fourth is the Hay Stealing Contest. Then we have the Antique Car Potato Race. Then we have another Hay Hurdle Relay. And then the Women's Truck and Horses Trailer Backing. Oh, that should be good.
Oh, wow. I have some choice words on that one, but continue.
You know what? It would be a really cool event to do around here. We need to find a maybe like Santa Maria Speedway or some sort of circle track, but we need to have a race in backwards with a trailer, a single axle trailer.
Men and women.
Yeah, you can do whatever, but yeah, I think that'd be great. You got to do like 2 laps. Whoever can do 2 laps first in reverse with a single axle trailer and like one of those gardening trailers, you know, that'd be fantastic to watch.
Or even a boat trailer. Great.
No, oh not my a boat gosh. Trailer.
Go into the lake and just trying to watch people back into the lake is really
you,
quite entertaining.
I'm telling you. So this one might be good. That's a good event right there. That's going to be funny or fun. Sorry, not funny.
Well, both. We'll see.
They'll probably do better than most men can with backing up horse trailers anyway, because they're usually the ones doing it.
I feel like if it's an event, I feel like we're all going to be super impressed. Like, they're going to be so quick and efficient and accurate.
Yeah, they need to have like kids truck and horse trailer backing or something like that.
That would be cute. I don't think that would be legal.
We got the tug of war. Then we got a tractor stake race. And then the crawler tractor pole bending or keyhole race.
I don't know what that means. Keyhole race?
Look.
They got a stick on a tractor and they got to try and like joust through the hole?
There's a lot of stuff going on here. Proceed through stakes without knocking down stakes.
Well.
Oh, it's okay. So it's a crawler tractor. So it's like a dozer. And then you have to drive it through wood stakes that are 15 feet apart. And then the keyhole lane is to be 10 feet wide and keyhole circle to be 15 feet in diameter. So you have to drive down without hitting any of the stakes. But it's a dozer. Or a crawler tractor.
I get it.
So it's like, yeah, you got the two pedals that with the, so.
Well, the antique car potato race might be fun. So to my knowledge, people are going to be driving these antique cars and physically stabbing or staking potatoes along the way. Like, that could be fun. I don't know. It sounds fun to me.
Yeah, so the passenger is going to spear each potato and place potatoes into the vehicle. Disqualification if your hand touches any part too close to the spear, so you actually have to make sure the end of the spear is a certain distance away from your hands. So yeah, pre-1965 vehicles has to run, has to have doors, you have to hang out the window, then you have to spear potatoes and put them in the car.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds fun. It's going to take communication and, you know, hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. So that's today. Check it out.
We're definitely going to check it out. I want to see what it's all about. And it's just at the fairgrounds, right? The Pioneer Games?
It is at the Paso Robles Event Center. Yes.
Paso Robles Event Center. Okay.
I'll see you there.
All right.
All right. See ya. I got to go.
Okay. Bye. Good luck, everyone. Now you're just stuck with me.
So if you're just tuning in, this is Gearhead Radio. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. If you have any questions about the events coming up, I do have all the pages pulled up. But besides that, if you have anything going on with your vehicle, please call in. Let us know if you got something that, a noise, a smell, something, maintenance questions that you have about. You know, we're going to start getting into the chilly season here, and so batteries are going to be on the docket, right? We talked a little bit about windshield wipers. Make sure your windshield washer reservoir is full. Make sure it works. It's all important stuff to make sure your vehicle's safe, especially if you're letting someone else borrow it.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. I had to do a little PSA about that. Also, let's talk a little bit about engines. So also today at the Pioneer Museum, I think they're going to have the hit and miss engines again. They usually have them every year, right? Remember the hit and miss engines?
Yeah, in the park next to the museum.
Do you remember what the hit and miss engine is?
I don't know if I could give you a technical answer.
No, you have to give me how exactly it works. And I have one right here. I'm gonna give it to you, and I want to see you rebuild it.
If you teach me, show me once, and I'll redo it.
I showed you last year. Remember?
No, you didn't. He's lying.
So the hit and miss engines are the old style pumps, right? The exhaust valve would close, so then you have a hit, and then the big weighted flywheel spins, and then it hits again, and then it spins, and then it hits again, and it's just a very slow, monotonous, but great for water pumps, great, I mean, very, very cool sounding, like it's just the cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are quite
cool. So that's based on a four-stroke engine or a four-cycle engine. I'm going somewhere with this, so just pay attention. So it's a four-stroke engine. Do you know what four-stroke engine is?
We say yes.
Yes, or two. Do you know what a two-stroke engine is?
We also say yes.
Well, it's half of a four-stroke engine, right? Because anyway, so a two-stroke engine means that every other time it's a power stroke or combustion stroke, right? You have the intake and then the combustion is with it. You have reed valves or exhaust ports that push the exhaust out as the intake's coming in, and then right around the next time the piston comes up, you have another power stroke. They make tons of power, right? Because you have a combustion or power stroke every other stroke of that piston. And when I say stroke of the piston, that's when it goes up to the top of the cylinder and back down to the bottom of the cylinder, right? Two-stroke engine. Not very efficient because a lot of the unburnt fuel gets out with the exhaust because the timing's just not there to get a more clean, efficient burn out of it. But they make a lot of power. That's why they're using dirt bikes, two-stroke Detroit diesels. Remember any of those? No?
No, I don't remember.
Four-stroke engines are much more efficient. They make a little less power because you have an intake, right? And then... No? Okay, well, you have four strokes to the engine, so that slows it down. You only have one combustion stroke through that process, right? So you can imagine as every fourth time that comes up, that's the only time that the power is getting converted from the piston to the crankshaft, right? So you have three strokes in that process that are basically scavenging or parasitic losses, right? It's like it's something that's not contributing to the speed of the crankshaft.
Makes sense. Continue.
Yeah. So four-stroke engine, great for efficiency because you have a whole stroke dedicated to eliminating the exhaust gases, and then a whole nother stroke that's dedicated to the intake process, and then one that's just the combustion, then it comes back again. So you have these four strokes that are constantly going, and only one time that the spark plug is being lit for power anyway. Only one time the spark plug is lit for power that pushes that cylinder down and adds energy to the crankshaft, which then goes through the transmission, to the drive shaft, to the wheel. So are we on the same page there?
Yeah.
So you can see how the two-stroke would be much more beneficial for power making, right? Because every other time it's power, power, power. So we're at... Okay, so the point I'm making here is Porsche actually just developed a six-stroke engine.
Cool.
What do you think about that? So in this concept, they're actually dedicating two strokes of that process for power.
Cool.
Yeah. So they've basically taken the two-stroke concept and evolved it into that four-stroke process.
Why is this something new? Why is this like all of a sudden something new that Porsche has come out with? Why?
Well, I think with the EVs, I think it's gonna push a lot of engineers to really think outside the box and come up with more innovative designs that are not only more efficient but more powerful, right? Because that's what we want. That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants it perfect. Everybody wants it now, and everybody wants it cheap. Like that's, if you can check all those boxes, everybody buys, right? Like, but it's impossible. You only get two. Like, it's going to be good or fast, but it's not going to be cheap. It's going to be cheap and fast, but it's not going to be good. Like that whole anthem, right? Like, you can't have all three. There's only two things you can box. So this I think pushes into that realm of like you're actually getting more power with more efficiency because it's one or the other. Like I was saying with the two-stroke, extremely inefficient, right? Because you don't have an entire cylinder stroke that's dedicated to eliminating the exhaust. So for that, you're making more power, but then you have more emissions, right? You have more exhaust. So it's one or the other. And this combines those two. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Hanging in there.
Okay. How do I check for a drain on my battery? Do I go with a voltmeter from the positive post to take the cable off and then onto the cable?
Negative side. You want to do it on the ground side?
On the ground side.
On the ground side is typically okay. The best way. And you want to set it to milliamps. Now, you have to be careful because most of your meters are going to be limited at about, well, it depends what it is, but you have a potential of blowing the fuse that's in that meter if it's over like half of an amp of a draw. And it's very easy to get over half an amp. So if like a dome light is left on, that's going to kill that meter or blow that fuse. So just be careful and be aware of that. But yeah, one of the first ways of doing it that I learned was disconnecting the ground and then putting it in series between the ground cable and the ground post, and then setting your meter to milliamps and watching the amperage. Now, what I've done now recently with the advent of new technologies, I use a ground an actual amp clamp, and I'll actually put an amp clamp around the cable, and then you can read it that way. You don't have run the risk of burning up your meter, and then you can use that and start like and grabbing different wires and trying to follow where that amp draw is coming from. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
I gotta go to break, but I'll talk a little bit more, and if you have any more questions, call me back.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ace Auto Care, across the street from Atascadero Hay and Feed in Atascadero.
Fox News, I'm Paul Stevens. Former President Trump in Aurora, Colorado, where a viral video highlighted alleged Venezuelan gang members taking over an apartment complex over the summer.
I will rescue Aurora and every town that has been invaded and conquered. These towns have been conquered. Explain that to your governor. He doesn't have a clue.
But the city of Aurora closed the building in question last August, saying it was neglected for years. Meantime, VP Kamala Harris talking about the economy.
One of the issues I'm going to be taking on is price gouging, which is these corporations and companies who jack up prices unnecessarily, usually around people who are desperate. It's going to be about bringing down the cost of living. For example, part of my plan is to expand the child tax credit.
Vice President Harris in Scottsdale, Arizona on Friday. America's listening to Fox News.
Seasons change, but fashion is forever. At The Blenders, we are here to help you transition your wardrobe into fall. Come check out our cozy sweaters, beautiful scarves, seasonal outerwear, amazing accessories, all that make you excited for the leaves to fall again. All fall at The Blenders, 538 12th Street, downtown Paso Robles.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Well, I've got some beds that have a special cover.
This is Rich London, the mattress specialist in Paso Robles.
Not only is it latex underneath for comfort and springs for support, but the cover itself is about 5 degrees cooler than the normal mattress. So if you're sleeping hot, now's the time to come in and check these beds out, because they are not only comfortable, but they're nice and cool to sleep on. And the prices definitely are right.
The mattress specialist is at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Everything is on sale, so I urge people to come on down and take advantage.
Eric's Painting, your North County residential and commercial paint company. No job is too big or too small. Eric's Painting, they specialize in refinishing cabinets, stained or painted. You can count on the licensed professional. Detailed quality paintwork from Eric's Painting. Call Eric's Painting or find them on Facebook. 805-975-6960. That's 805-975-6960.
Welcome back in. You're tuned in to Gearhead Radio on KPRL. Thanks for being here. What was I talking about?
Well, we were talking about engines, but we had a really fabulous question right before we went to break.
It was fabulous? But
about how to test battery.
Oh, yeah, parasitic drain.
Okay, parasitic draws.
I remember everything. Like a steel trap up here, folks. I'm telling you. Parasitic drain. So, if you're not familiar with what that is, it's that annoying thing that happens when you let your car sit for more than a couple of days, and then you have to get you have to get your neighbor to jumpstart you because your battery's dead. So a few things right off, like first things you want to do before you start getting your detective
hat on.
Yeah, don't go all detective on it yet. Because the first thing you want to do is test your battery. You want to test it under a load. But a simple conductance test will tell you. Also, if the battery is over 3 years old, more than likely something going on with it too. So make sure the battery is charged and then test it. Don't test it when it's dead. So charge it and then test it. Make sure you have a good battery. Easiest thing you can do, right? And then also check your connections. Make sure you got a good, solid connection with not a bunch of corrosion built up. That's also important because that can cause what might look like or might sound like a dead battery, right? The corrosion will build up in between the post, that lead post, and the battery terminal itself. And then if you get enough corrosion there, that's resistance. And remember Ohm's law?
No.
No?
I specifically do not, sir. Can you please explain it for me and you listening out there? So I'll simplify it.
So as the resistance builds up, you have a voltage loss, right? Because you're trying to bridge the gap, but there's something in the way. So that creates resistance, which then lowers your voltage or increases your voltage drop between the post and terminal. So in layman's terms, it's just not getting a good connection. How's that? It's not a proper connection. So you go to jumpstart it, which wiggles the terminal a little bit, and then it makes good contact and it starts right up. Anyway, I won't go down that too far because that's an easy thing. Just make sure there's not green stuff growing on the battery terminals. Also, make sure your alternator is charging. So once it's running, check the gauges. That's the easiest thing to do, and just make sure the gauge is pointing at about 14 volts. Especially if it's dead, that thing should be cranked all the way up to 14 right after start if it's dead. So another quick way to do it. There's tons of testing equipment to make sure the diode and the alternator is good and all that kind of stuff too. But easiest thing to do, start it, look at the gauge, make sure it's charging. If that all checks, now we're talking about a parasitic drain. Make sure that nothing's plugged into the cigarette lighters. Maybe something in the back your kid might have left plugged in. Make sure all the dome lights are off, all switched off. Make sure that if you have the dimmer switch for the headlight, that it's clicked down and it's not up in the clicked up position to also keep the map light or dome light on. Glove box, make sure the glove box isn't also hitting the button and keeping the glove box light open. Okay, those are things that I find all the time that mm-hmm. are typically the cause of it. Another one, if you have a truck with a trailer tow package, that has issues too. So you can unplug that connector out of the back of that tow, the little seven-way thing, and make sure it's not full of corrosion. That's the easiest thing to do. Unplug it out of the back of it, that from the vehicle to that connector, and just see if there's any corrosion built up in there. That's another really common one. If nothing there, then now we can put the Sherlock Holmes hat on. Now we're getting in deep. So we were talking about putting a meter between the battery positive and the ground of the cable. Do you know why we do that?
No, please explain it. I don't know if you're really expecting me to like jump in or know these answers.
I'm hoping you just take over so I can just kick back here.
I'm a service advisor and a business manager. I'm not a technician.
Okay, so
I don't
know
these answers.
So what we're doing
folks.
Here is it's going to find the path of least resistance to ground, right? So if there's a draw, it needs to go, with the way 12-volt batteries work, right, the direct current, it needs to go back into the battery. So if it comes out of the, technically comes out of the ground side and into the positive side, but for the analogy I'm saying here, it comes out of the positive and it needs to go back to ground. So if you put a meter in between that cable and the battery itself, you can measure how many amps are running through that in milliamps, right? Because that's going to... If the electricity is going out of the battery, it needs to come back in. So you just put a meter in line so you can actually measure how much it is. Now, the standard is around 30 milliamps for most new vehicles. It shouldn't be more than that. Very, very, very low. We're talking like, 30 milliamps. Almost nothing. If you're having like a half amp draw or a quarter amp draw, that's way too much. That's going to kill the battery. In fact, once you get up about 100 milliamps, that usually kills the battery in about 3 to 4 days. So 30 milliamps is still kind of high, but for the new vehicles nowadays, they do have battery management software and the PCM, and you know that milliamp draw from 30 will drop to 10 sometimes, and it'll float around and keep the battery, you know, good for a week to 2 weeks sometimes. But beyond that, the other thing you can do besides using a meter is using an amp clamp. Now, the amp clamp goes around the battery cable, and then it can measure the inductance or the magnetic field that's traveling through the wire through the amp clamp. So you're not having to disconnect anything and you're not having to back probe anything. And that's really important because sometimes if you disconnect the battery and you have a module that's getting stuck on, reconnecting the battery with your meter, all of a sudden there's no loss. So you're waiting a day, 2 days for that module to get in its stuck position again and then to capture that draw. So you want to avoid disconnecting anything. Another thing with the meter is once you have the meter on there, you want to find out which circuit is drawing your amperes. So if you put it on there and you're saying, oh, we got, you know, a half an amp draw, what do you think would be the best way to find that draw? Still nothing. I'm trying to involve you. It's like an involving process. So everything in the vehicle is separated by circuits, and there's fuses, right? So you have your main voltage into the fuse box, and then each circuit is also has its own fuse to go out. So you have a fuse going to the dome lights, fuse for the headlights, fuse for, you have all these different circuits. So if you have a draw on something, say like the horn got stuck on, but then the horn burned up, so you can't audibly hear the horn honking, but that circuit is still drawing amperage or drawing voltage, you would pull the fuse out of that horn circuit, then you see on your meter that draw dropped. Well, then you know that you have a problem on that and the horn needs to be replaced or whatever, right? Does that make sense? So you're just taking each circuit and you're pulling each fuse until you find what it is. Now, that's really not the best way to do it either, because if you could pull the fuse and then as you plug it back in, you could wake up a module and then you have another, now the draw jumps and doubles. So with newer vehicles, it's that old way just doesn't work as well as it used to. So using an amp clamp and kind of clamping each wire, that way you're not being intrusive. You're just pulling the wire up and then you can clamp around it. You can track your draw down that way.
So the amp clamp is the most efficient way.
That's what you got all that, huh?
Yes. That's what I'm good at. So what's the bottom line here? So what is the thing that I need to do?
Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Hi, Mazda guy again. I just had a quick question.
Hey, what you got?
When you do a compression check, doesn't matter what side the spark plug, because you know how they have two spark plugs per cylinder?
Oh, yeah. No, it doesn't matter.
So you could do a compression check on either or?
Yeah. As long as one is in and the other one's out, you'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering if... Yeah, I was just wondering. All right, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's a good question.
Yeah, he always has good questions. Yeah. He has some active projects going on. That's why he's in the thick of it. And that is when you have the best questions. It's hard just to theoretically think about everything all the time.
So hopefully somebody helps somebody with your amp draw. It's I've spent many years trying to find those kinds of issues. It's the good and the bad thing about being, you know, the shop. You get a lot of recommendations from other shops that they don't want to either deal with it or they're having a hard time with it. It's, I don't know what you call it.
And it gets sent to us.
Makes me wonder why I take that.
Because sometimes those, you know, those electrical issues, sometimes they are easily found because of your experience level and knowledge, but sometimes they're not. There's just so many variables and things at play that have to be tested and rechecked and adjusted every time you do something. It can be so time consuming, and that in itself is frustrating.
Yeah, just like I said, pulling the fuse and then something else gets activated and then you got to wait another 4 hours for everything to shut back down. Well, it's usually 45 minutes, but it's just like, so you make one little mistake and like the whole day is shot and I have to wait till, you know, the end of the day or tomorrow to start again. And that's the stuff that I've learned over the years, but it's still stuff that I continue to learn and I'm still like, wow, I made that mistake. Damn, that sucks, you know? And then some people just don't allow me to make one simple mistake and then I get, you know, bad reviews and it just goes downhill from there. Poor me, right? Good morning, on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning again. Thanks for answering my parasitic draw question. I have a comment.
Sure.
You were discussing four-stroke versus two-stroke engines earlier. Porsche has patented a six-stroke engine.
Yep, I was tying right into that.
Oh, were you?
I was. Yes.
Well, I've read a little bit about it, but I still don't get it.
It's pretty cool. So, yeah, they've put two combustion strokes in that process, right? And so what they're doing is they take the piston and they have a first top dead center and a second top dead center, and then they have the bottom of the piston, which is another first top bottom dead center, and then a secondary bottom dead center. So the crankshaft is on an eccentric. I don't know how deep you went into it, but they have a ring gear, right, for the crankshaft, and then they offset it with an eccentric. So they allow the piston naturally to go up to its first top dead center, and then it goes up again, but to a second top dead center. And that allows on the bottom, there's vents on the bottom, kind of like, are you familiar with like two-stroke engines with the reed where they had the ports on the bottom that allowed the exhaust to go out?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so they got that. They have exhaust ports on the bottom, so when it gets down to the second bottom stroke position, it opens those vents and allows the exhaust vent out, and then allows the fresh air, it allows the fresh air fuel charge into the cylinder through the bottom, and then it venturis, or it pushes the exhaust out as that bottom chamber is open with the new air fuel charge, and then it goes back up again.
Wow, it's interesting. I've seen some diagrams on it. I'll have to look at the diagram.
I would,
if you go on
YouTube, and there's a guy out there that made a really nice video about it. It's kind of long and a little stale, but he did a really good video, and it shows it in its working capacity. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it makes a lot more sense seeing the video, you know, and like watching the working process, like, oh, that could actually work. and then I get it, right? Because then you have a huge combustion stroke. The secondary combustion stroke is about 80% of like the full combustion, but you're still picking up one more combustion stroke out of that process, right? So it's a really good video. I definitely recommend looking it up on YouTube.
Okay, I'll look for that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, the old six-stroke engine. That's what they're going to call it one day. The old six-stroke. Maybe I'll do an eight-stroke.
I think that might be a bit much. We don't need so much.
Paso Robles Floor Company has new owners, but they're familiar faces. Tom and Kyle have been with Paso Robles Floor Company for more than a decade, so you'll still get the same hometown service they're known for. Paso Robles Floor Company. You'll find them just north of Paso Robles at 6240 Monterey Road, right off the 101 and X line. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 8 to noon. Come say hi to Tom and Kyle. New owners, same old faces. Paso Robles Floor Company.
Welcome in the holidays and reminisce with a Charlie Brown Christmas Review, produced by Applause Children's Theater. All your favorite characters will be singing and dancing. All kids under 12 are free, and adults are only $15. So bring the whole family and enjoy a fun-filled evening. 1744 Oak Street in Paso Robles, November 22nd and 23rd. Tickets on Eventbrite or at applausechildrenstheater.com.
I am Central Coast attorney Dave Durringer, and I believe in faith, family, and freedom. Without faith and family, there is no freedom. So the mission of my law firm, Protective Law Corporation in Morro Bay, is to help families grow family power by transmitting life, fortune, and honor to descendants. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all trusts are not created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain alienable rights, that among these are powers to defer, avoid, or shift taxation, to shelter assets from creditors, that to secure these rights, trusts are created by me. If you are serious about asset protection and family protection, call me, Dave Durringer of Protective Law Corp in Morro Bay. Dial 805-225-5105, or just click on my phone number at lawnews.tv. Again, lawnews.tv, lawnews.tv.
Who's got the best breakfast around? A recent survey says it's a three-way tie between Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Who took the survey? People with great taste who like food that tastes great. By the way, their lunches are great too. Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Open every day from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. Thank you, fellow Americans.
Seniors helping seniors. We hire seniors to help other seniors because, well, they just understand each other better. Would you like part-time work that makes a difference? Or maybe you or a loved one needs a helping hand. Our services are non-medical. Call me, Ron Torres, at 805-369-2110, 369-2110, or go to seniorcareslo.com. That's seniorcareslo.com. Seniors helping seniors.
And welcome back in. This is Gearhead Radio. I appreciate your time this chilly Saturday morning.
Special Saturday morning Pioneer Day Parade.
This is the special edition Pioneer Day Gearhead Radio edition.
2024.
It's special, special. We're just so special.
We're all so special.
What was I talking about before the break? I keep losing it.
Well, a handful of things.
What was the last thing?
Engines?
Oh, the 6-stroke engine, yeah.
That you were going to make an 8-stroke, but then I got cut off because I got excited and started talking. I said, that would be impressive, but not everybody needs so much power. I mean, it doesn't have to be more.
No, it's not more power. It's being more efficient with, it's adding, how do I explain this?
Well, I only said that because before you said it adds more power.
It's like, look at it. This is not the perfect analogy, but the analogy is if you don't use all the available power, right? And you can actually keep your foot out of it, then it's actually more efficient, right? So like the EcoBoost, that's a turbocharged V6. Let's be real here. That's all it is. It's a turbocharged V6. But you call it EcoBoost and you say it gets 35 miles to the gallon. People drive it a little bit nicer and they actually get the fuel mileage and it's an actually more efficient engine. But what it is, it's a performance engine. It's a twin turbocharged V6. That's what it is.
That makes perfect sense.
Those things make like 500 or 600 horsepower when you tune them and do all the right stuff to them. I mean, they are an impressive powertrain for a V6, right? Like, they make real power, but it's all in the mind, right?
So the psychology of
it, call it an EcoBoost and say, hey, you'll get this much mileage out of it with this peak horsepower. And they're like, oh, sweet, cool. Yeah, you keep your foot in all the time and constantly tone with it. You're only going to get like 15 miles to the gallon. I've seen it. But my point is like if you build a 6-stroke engine, you're just taking more. You're making it more efficient, and efficiency does not mean less. I guess that's the point I want to bring. I like that. So being efficient does not mean that you're less, right? It actually means that you're more efficient. So you're using the time allotted, or you're using the power available more efficiently, which means you get more.
Yeah, it's a more efficient engine that has more power
potential. Yeah,
you use it.
Yeah, if you need it. Yeah, because the thing about the 6-stroke engine is it actually doesn't really shine until about 6,000 RPM. So,
and who does that?
Everybody needs to do that. you gotta tap that red line. You know what I mean? You gotta feel a little speed to your ride every once in a while. You know. Got to get up in that thing.
The only time I ever got to 5-6 RPM was in my 98 RAV4 trying to get up the grade. And yeah, I was not going anywhere, but it was pegged out.
Let them horses sing. Got to get them to gallop, man. We got to get going. Yeah. So anyway, I think it's pretty cool. Last thing we got to talk about before we 6,000 RPM out of here.
Yeah, we got 6 minutes.
So,
we got skedaddle.
October 26th, fundraiser barbecue. We are so excited about this. We have over 150 food tickets sold.
Woo woo.
We're getting close to 100 vehicles that have been registered for the car show.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to register your vehicle because we are going to be running out of spots here soon.
Please don't wait till the last minute.
Yeah, because we might be out. And if you try to show up the day of, we might not. I mean, there might not be room for you. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I hope that's not the case, but I just want to put that out there. Come by the shop. Come by any of these shops that are sponsoring this event. You can buy tickets at any Napa Auto Care Center, plus a few other ones that are on there. Go to 805 Community Car Care Centers at gmail.com is the email if you want to email and get more information.
Or you could look us up on Facebook.
Yeah, the Facebook page, 805 Community Car Care Centers. And you can message there or find a flyer. There's tons of flyers all over Facebook, all over town. But yes, car registration is still open and the meal tickets are still open. And please, please buy the meal ticket in advance. It's $15.
For tri-tip lunch.
Tri-tip lunch with chips and a drink. It's, yeah, you can't. In fact, we were just at Albertsons yesterday. And they were doing one for the dance academy mm-hmm. in Atascadero, and I bought one, and then I'm like, hey, oh, by the way, what day is this? They're like, oh, it's October 26th. I'm like, oh.
Dang. Same day, same time. You stole our idea.
I'm going to have a lot of tri-tip sandwiches that day, I guess, so I got to somehow make my way over to the Atascadero Home Depot and get another tri-tip sandwich.
But to be clear, too, ours is for Mara, the owner of Paso Auto Wrecking, who has been in the community for decades as a local wrecking yard, supplying used parts to so many people, hundreds, thousands of people to keep your projects going, your cars on the road. It all goes to her and rebuilding Paso Auto Wrecking.
Yeah, and ours are only $15. The one I bought was $17. Just saying. Just saying. I think we're under the bar here, you know. So.
And our event's going to be at the Estrella Warbirds Museum, which is just a cool, cool place to spend your Saturday.
And Tom over there at Rainbow, he's doing the barbecue, and he's telling me he's going to be doing half-pound tri-tip sandwiches.
It is going to be so good.
Yeah, I'm telling you. For $15,
Tom's an excellent barbecuer. So buy those tickets. It is free to show up to the event.
I even heard that he's going to pinstripe the buns.
Yeah, we'll see. I'd like one thick white line down mine, not two. I like the single stripe if we're talking about stripes.
On your buns?
On my bun.
For the sandwich?
Single bun.
The buns?
It's like a French
roll.
The
sandwich buns?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You got to be clear about that.
On the tri-tip bun.
Yeah, be clear about that.
Oh, apologies. I don't think anyone would dare touch my other buns. Hot cross buns.
It's going to be a good event. We'll have a silent auction, tons of cool stuff, 50-50 raffle. I'll be on the mic most of the day. Car show is going to be awesome.
11 to 4, October 26th at the Warbirds Museum.
Put that on your calendar. Stamp it on your forehead.
You want to get registered? You want to buy tickets? Easiest thing, just because we're on the air, call into Shifting Gears. Show up to the office or any of the participating sponsoring shops of the event.
Like who?
Paso Robles Auto Repair. Rainbow, which is Tom's place. Taps. G&H Auto Body. Calderon Auto Body. Paso Robles Ford. Allegiance. Auto Limits. Mobile on Spring Street. Those are, I think those are all the sponsors, but they all have tickets. They all have information. So do whatever is most convenient for you. But
Team RV.
Team RV. Thank you. Was there?
And the Napa, local Napa. You can go down to the local Napa.
You could just go to Napa.
And you said Taps too, right?
I did. Again.
Yeah. So you can go down to the local Napa State auto parts store and get signed up there too. So, and keep in mind it's a donation, so you can write it off. Also keep in mind, you can also write off anything up to $400 without a receipt. So I'm not a CPA, but I've heard that through the grapevine.
Do what's right. It's mutually beneficial.
Appreciate you being here. I'll see you next Saturday, 9 a.m. See ya.
Thanks for having me.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.